You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, founder of Automation Bridge, an online publication for small business marketing automation, where we focus on turning digital marketing professionals into automation service providers. And in this episode, I want to discuss purpose. Okay, not the purpose of automation. We've covered that, right? Automate the repetitive tasks to get you on the path to profitability. Right? Free up time so you can do more with less. Don't want to talk about the purpose of automation, but more so how to ensure that your automation has purpose, or what you're automating has purpose. That is producing what you need it to and not just looking good, if it's looking good at all. Okay. So I want to make sure to in this episode, we go beneath the surface, beyond mere appearances, and really get down to the nuts and bolts of what makes it work. By it, automation. Because if it's working, producing something, that means it's purposeful. Okay. So before we get into it, if you're new to the podcast, first off, welcome. Thank you for choosing to listen to the All Systems Go podcast. Do me a favor, listen to this episode in its entirety. And if you find value, which I'm sure you will, please leave a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. Okay. I want to give a shout out to Lewis Showman, who's left the most recent review entitled "Take Notice, Apple." Yes, Apple, take notice. Chris is making amazing content here for anybody needing to learn the fundamentals of marketing automation. Highly recommend. Thank you for that, Lewis. And I can't stress the importance of the fundamentals, everybody. Fortunes are built, or I should say this, fortunes are obtained and maintained through the fundamentals. Okay, they're very important. So do me a favor, if you haven't left a 5-star rating and review, please do so. We're in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe to the All Systems Go podcast on YouTube. So whatever your mode of consumption is, you can stay true to that and still get access ongoing to the All Systems Go podcast. Okay, so all of your 5-star ratings and reviews are greatly appreciated. All right, let me start off by saying to automate without purpose is to not automate at all. The great philosopher Christoph Davies said such. Yeah, you'll catch that later. All right. But it reminds me, I'll let you guys into one of my high school experiences. And I don't know about you, but in high school, really in life in general, and movies make fun of this, it's there are times where you see this really good looking individual. For me, it's all about the girls, right? There was this one girl in particular, me and all of my friends were like, man, she's so pretty. She's so this, she's so that. And then she opened up her mouth and said something. And I don't know about you all, but depending on how you're wired and the type of person, ignorance can really be a turnoff for some. And some people are just like, look, it doesn't matter. She looks good. Right. I wasn't one of those people. I needed substance. Right. So what was funny was this young lady, we didn't realize how young she was, one. And two, we just didn't understand that she probably wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. And I can't remember what happened, but something happened that she didn't understand. And her statement was, why you want to do that for? Okay. She said this, and me and my friend, we looked at each other and was like, what did she just, so it became a running joke for the entirety of my high school career. And if I have any friends from high school listening right now, you know exactly who I'm talking about. And you know exactly how many hours of laughter that generated. But fast forward to today, and when we're talking about automating without purpose, I would like to pose that question and redeem this young lady and say, why you want to do that for? Why would you want to automate just for the sake of automation? Right? Like, I get it. You know what it is? It's a lot of people like to walk the walk and talk the talk, but they're not making much progress. And I envision it kind of like a tight shot. Think of a videographer with a tight shot on somebody who is running on a treadmill and they're sweating profusely. You can tell, you know, their arms are pumping. You're like, man, they must be a master sprinter, right? They've got, you know, the tank top on, the sweat glistening on their shoulders. And as the camera pulls out and the shot gets wider, you start to realize, wait a minute, the background isn't moving. Hold on. I don't think they're moving. And then you realize they're just running in place. Now, it is doing something, right? Maybe building stamina, muscle, whatever. But for you, you were looking at them thinking they were actually moving somewhere, thinking they were actually getting somewhere. And there are so many digital marketers on the treadmill that you think are actually on the track. Okay. And when you're on the treadmill, that means you've learned what to do, the jargon. You've learned some of the tricks and strategies. You know how to do all of that. You know how to give the appearance, but lack the substance. Here's what it looks like. You can build a landing page, but it doesn't convert, right? You know the technical technical process in creating a landing page and integrating it and putting a form up there, but it doesn't work. It doesn't convert, I should say. Okay. And when it does convert, you figure that part out. It's not generating quality leads. And here's the thing. You don't know what quality leads are until you've had them. So there are many people posing to be great, and they really think what they have is the cream of the crop. Like, yes, these are good leads, until they experience a real marketer. And like, oh, wait a minute. Why does yours look different? Why is your list half the size of mine, but producing 10 times more revenue? Right? These folks who automate just to automate, they're just looking to do what others are doing, but don't understand what makes it work, tick, convert, right? They create the email sequences, the soap operas, the indoctrinations, the insert any new name for an email follow-up sequence. And it doesn't result in more customers. They've even been able to build beautiful sales pages. And these are the ones that almost get me, because I have a natural liking to design. I think it's the artist in me, but I always joke around with designers and all the designers that I've worked with professionally in my business and with startups. They know I have a certain affinity for them, right? And I joke with them all the time and say, you know, in an alternate universe out there, Chris is a designer. I'm a designer. You know, I'm a graphic designer, whatever, right? We always have that joke. But I do. I see a lot of people can even create these beautiful, clean, nice looking sales pages. And it almost does. I almost fall for this. It's like, man, they really know what they're doing. Right? Like, wow, this is exemplary. I'm going to model some things after this, until you find out that they don't know what they're doing. And for me, it's often talking to the marketer or the CEO. And things just simply aren't working, right? But it all looks good. Have the appearance and lack the substance. So what it really is we're surrounded by professional performers instead of established experts, right? And a lot of these performers, most of them, they cheapen and bastardize the area of automation. And here's the thing. There's a lot of them doing it unconsciously and innocently. They don't realize that they're doing it. They're just doing what everybody else is doing until they've been exposed to it being done the right way and producing real results. Then they step back and say, wait a minute. You can do that, right? You can generate 30 times more revenue in a business within 3 months. You can do that. That's possible, right? So a lot of this ignorant execution comes from the lack of exposure to what results automation can truly produce. And perhaps that's another episode where we just really get into the results, right? That you can expect. It's hard. And a lot of these podcasts are hard because it is so subjective to the business, the team structure, how you, CEO, desire to operate in your business, right? The level of revenue, your level of leadership. There's so many tangential areas that play a part into creating success. It's not all about the automation. I wish it was, but it's not. But to be in the industry and see this bastardization happen, the cheapening, the performers who know that they're performing and those who don't, it's frustrating for all parties involved. It is. I meet people all the time that are just like, I don't want to be. It's the imposter syndrome, right? I don't want to be an imposter anymore. Right? Like, you're showing me how to do it the right way. This is what I want to embrace. I want to do this. Right? But when the smallest thing done right produces the largest result possible, this is a strong indicator that your automation has purpose. Right? That is the telltale sign, is when you really haven't had to build out this extravagant thing and yet it's still producing results. But how do you know what to focus on to get that? Right? How do you cut through all the distractions and only do what produces a result? How do you prevent yourself from continually operating less than what you need and deserve? Right? It's one word that comes to mind. And before I say the word, let me just say this. It's an iterative process, though. It's not a, hey, I've done it, and now I know the one thing to focus on. No, it does come with some trial and error. But the one word, regardless of the amount of trial and error that's required, regardless of every all the other factors, the one word is strategy. Strategy. It's the difference between aimlessly automating and executing with excellence. Okay? And I'll be honest, I'm saying this to be transparent. Please know this is not some kind of humble brag and like I'm so great by trying to, you know, sneak in something to puff up my ego. This is a moment of transparency. I'm naturally a strategic thinker. I never realized this until really the more recent years in my life, where people around me have just paid attention to how I move just holistically. Right. But since it's natural to me, you know, it's it's not uncomfortable for me to sit back and just think strategically. Right. Like, sometimes I will enjoy going to bed early just because I know I can lay in this bed and look at the ceiling and just think through things. I'm a big thinker, right? But not just a thinker, a strategic thinker. It's a difference, right? So since it's natural for me, I never paid much attention to the lack, since I assume that most people have it, right? Just like somebody with a lot of common sense to tell you common sense ain't so common. Right. And people get surprised. Like, how did they not know that? Well, what is natural to you is not natural to somebody else. Don't talk bad about them. Just understand how you're wired, right? So I assume that most people had, I thought strategy was just something that you kind of learned and picked up. But a lot of people don't. And let me be specific. So, you know, we're in context here. I'm talking about specific to automating marketing. Okay. Strategy is clarifying the goal, then working backwards to identify the effort involved, then planning what potential paths, planning out the potential paths to get there. Right? So when I'm talking about strategic thinking specific to automated marketing, it is clarifying what we're trying to achieve and then working backwards to identify the effort required. And the effort is both technology and humans, and then planning what the potential paths to get there look like. Now, you couple that with the fact that I'm inherently a minimalist, right? And you start to see the formula of Chris and how I'm wired. I don't like a lot of clutter. The minimalist in me cringes like, no. And then the process oriented engineer in me, it has to all be well put together and make sense and organized. Right. Then the strategic thinker in me says, all right, what's the best way we can pull this off? Right. Like, what is the most valuable, the most profitable approach? OK, that's how I'm wired. Anybody that has learned under my tutelage, they see that. That's one of the things that gleam immediately outside of just my heart to help, you know, in my transparency that I operate with. Right. But it's that. It's the strategic approach to everything, from the strategy to the technology, right, to the recreation of customers after they become a customer, to the fulfillment, to the selection of the team members and size. It all requires strategic thinking. Okay. So I know it sounds simple enough to me, but just mentioning this may overwhelm some. Okay. So what I did is, I was thinking of a few tips. I just sat back and looked at, okay, Chris, when it comes to your approach to automation, your strategic approach, what do you find yourself doing? So I have a few tips, maybe, I don't know, a few pointers to help you think more strategically that I use in no particular order, but I just wanted to talk through a few of them. Now, I will admit, these may not be in some leadership or strategic thinking book. They may go a lot deeper and really define it. And there may be words, better words for this stuff, but this is just me, you know, off the top, things that I do in no particular order. And I use it daily. So before I do it, let me just state this. There is some level that can only be obtained in the proper environment. And some levels that can be taught. I'll talk about that later. The rest comes from repetition. So there, when it comes to strategy, there is no destination. You're always getting better. You're always learning. And the biggest thing that you can do for yourself is put yourself in an environment of strategic thinkers, because a lot of people just catch it. And those who have it naturally, it elevates it, right? This is the importance of community. Your network. That's why I've created a community of strategic thinkers in the realm of marketing automation for that very reason. Okay. So the first one that comes to mind is, it's just my favorite. I read this book maybe 8 years ago, maybe more by now. Yeah, definitely more by now, maybe like 12 years ago. But this always stuck with me. Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Always begin with the end in mind. Right. Your goal will dictate your strategy and give purpose to the process required to get there. Let me say that again. Your goal will dictate your strategy and give purpose to the process required to get there. OK, we have to be clear with the goal. We're not just building because there's one particular automation that we think we need. Does it tie up to the goal? OK, because it's going to give purpose to the process. So that process, as you all know, involves technology. So now you're starting to see the picture of how we automate with purpose. One is by starting with the goal. It also allows you to assess what's required. We call this counting the cost. All right. So before you embark on any endeavor, have you counted the cost? Have you assessed what it's going to take to get there? And some of you haven't done that. And just through your assessment, you would have realized, this isn't the right path. Or perhaps this isn't the right tool for the right path. Right. But we have to count the cost, even if it's going to require expensive software. Even if it's going to require expensive coaching or mentoring. Do you realize when I'm talking about count the cost, I'm not just talking about the stuff that naturally comes to mind. Have you ever sat back and said, hey, look, I want to start a business. Let me get clear on how much I should be paying for coaching every year. I didn't do that. And I know most people, that is not one of their checkboxes, but everybody successful has done it. And I'm not talking about the easy coaching. Oh, $100 for a coach and I can talk to them for a month or, you know, whatever. Like, that's easy. Throw $100, talk to a coach. That's not a coach, honestly. That's a consumer with fancy words. You pay somebody $100 a month for coaching, you're getting a consumer that just knows how to communicate. They're not a coach. They have no specialized knowledge. Right. But I say that to say it's one of those costs that came up later, and it came up at a time where I couldn't afford not to, and I couldn't afford to. Have you ever been in that situation where you can't afford financially? And I'm saying can't with air quotes. You can't afford financially to invest, but you can't afford not to. It's like, look, I know this is going to take me to the next level. And guess what? Every time I have invested in coaching and mentoring, it has taken me to the next level. And every time it has been a scary investment. Right? But it's the cost now. I know you're not making 20, 30, 50K a month without a heavy investment in coaching before you're making 10K a month. I'm just being honest with you all, trying to help you understand the road that you're on or may embark upon. Coaching is required. Mentoring is required. Community is required. So oftentimes we just, what does it take to make money? I just need a landing page. I need this. I need that. No, count the whole cost. All right. Next, take the time to plan. You all know it by now. I've mentioned this, that I didn't always value planning, but now I can't function without doing it. And if you want to move faster, what do I say? Don't not plan. Just learn how to plan faster. If you want to move faster, plan faster. Okay. Most people do step one, the first one that I just talked about, you know, identify the goal, and then they jump right into execution. And that's the failure point right there. Where's your blueprint? Where did you have the goal? Where was the time that it took to look at all of the various paths to get there and identifying the best one and planning out that journey? Not just that, but since we're talking about marketing, take time to plan the full customer journey from lead gen to customer creation to customer recreation. Take time to plan that out. Think of it in the seat of experience as your contact would, not as you want them to. What are they thinking at this point? What are you asking them to do? Have you built up enough rapport to expect them to do that, right? Plan it out. Now, and let me say this. There are going to be times where you're going to have to execute on the fly and plan, right? And then sometimes you're just going to have to say, look, I'm going to have to throw planning to the wayside for a little bit and just execute MVP, beta, whatever it's called. But you make sure you always do a postmortem or a debrief, right? Because there's a certain level of planning, especially if you're a perfectionist, there's a certain level of planning that you feel comfortable with before you get started. And I don't want you to listen to this podcast and be like, well, good, Chris told me to keep planning, and you're using that as an excuse to not get started. No. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about plan enough to give purpose to your steps, to clarify the strategy, right? And then execute. You're not going to be able to plan for every possible outcome, but you are going to be able to move, jump, and grow your wings on your way down, right? There's a time to ready, aim, shoot, and then there's a time to ready, shoot, aim, right? This is when I was an engineer, that's what autopilots were, the microprocessors I used to program. You shoot them, launch the rocket, and then the autopilot can go in there and navigate. But you launched it. You launched a missile. Don't get me wrong. It had a destination. I don't want you to think we're haphazardly designing these missiles. I'm giving it as an example that if you know, we're talking about ready, shoot, aim, I'm thinking about an arrow or a bullet. If there was a little chip on there that you could just shoot and then update the chip on its path. That's what they do now with cell phones, video game consoles, iPads, right? You're always getting a firmware update, software update, right? Because they shot and they're aiming as it's out in the market. So there is a balance. But what I found is that that debrief, that project postmortem, is where, you know, you can go back and shore up naming conventions, clean up automations, documents, things that you did manually and put them into an automated flow instead of continuing to just execute, execute, execute. Right? Take the time to plan. Next is question everything. This is hard because a lot of people have confirmation bias because they don't like being wrong. Marketing has shown me that the more wrong I am, the more money I make. Okay. So when I say question everything, I don't want you to ever settle on the idea that you got it right and it's the best way. I'm always questioning myself, not in a I don't believe in myself manner, but just a challenging manner. Like, is there a better way? Right? I'm always looking for a better way to do something. And it's just another way of saying, have an open-minded approach that's willing to be wrong. Okay. And not just question yourself, question the people that you're listening to. Question me as I'm telling you this. Why is he saying that? Right? Like, try to understand. I get it. It's, again, I know it's the engineer in me showing, right? Getting down to the nuts and bolts, the why. I love to ask why. But seriously, you need to question everything. You see somebody talking about, hey, just do this and this and that. Question. I wonder if that'll work for me. What are the considerations? What is the avatar that I would need to fit to have those results? And be honest. Question your approach. Hey, look, I'm going to build this automation that does this, and then it has two if-else branches, and then a goal over here and a tag, and then it's going to start another auto. Question it. Do I need that tag? Do I need that goal? Do I need that if else? Is there another way I could do it? A lot of times, specific to automation building, you don't know the other ways to do it until you've seen somebody else's thought in how to do it. I still learn from people how to build automation. Our brains are just so unique. I'll look at somebody and say, you know what? I would have never done it that way, but I like that one piece that you did. I'm going to borrow that. I'm going to add that to my repertoire. Okay. Next is use people. Yes, I said it. Use people. Not in the sense of disingenuine and shady business, but use people to practice on. I am always talking about what I do to people in my industry and outside of my industry because it gives me language both ways. If I can explain something to somebody outside of my industry, because, you know, it's technical, marketing automation is technical, and they get excited about it and they understand it, I know I have something. So I can now take the words that I use there and bring it back to my industry to help those who are just getting started not feel overwhelmed. right? But some of you need to shop your idea, shop your solution, shop your product around with people more. Shop your process, what you're going to do, your plan. Hey, look, this is what, you know, safe people, right? You don't want to give it away to people who may steal your ideas, but I'm talking about safe people. And it could be your spouse. It can even be your kids at times. I tell my kids all the time what I'm doing. Some of them just laugh at me. A lot of times they just laugh because I'll be like, hey, I have my daughter come and say, look, baby, I'm trying to create this presentation. And what it's going to do is I'm going to split it up into three parts and create a workshop on Facebook. But I need to create a landing page for it because I need to register and get their information because I don't like Facebook having all of my information. So now I can have them at least on an email list where I can have constant communication with them. And I'm thinking about segmenting them this way. I will literally say that to my daughter. She'll look at my screen and she'll just be giggling the whole time I'm talking. But sometimes I say something to her like that and she gives feedback and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. That's a good idea. Right? But it's practice. So when I say use people, it's really another way of saying always be practicing. Like I said, practicing pitching your idea, your process, your strategy in compelling ways. You're always practicing because I'm always looking for language and I'm always looking for that aha moment so I can repeat it. Anybody that's listened to this or experienced me in any speaking capacity knows that you're going to get ahas. It's because I'm always practicing. What did an athlete say? I'm in my bag. I'm always in my bag. Right. And lastly, make measurement a requirement. It's not optional. Just know that you're always producing something, okay? And that something is either a desired result or an undesired result, right? But either way, you need to measure the level of desired and the level of undesired, right? Because it's going to help you prove or disapprove the process that you use to get there. It is the indicator that your strategy is working or not. Without measurement, there's no assessment. There's nothing to assess. And without assessment, there's nothing to learn and improve on. So measurement is not an option. It's a requirement. So now that I'm thinking about the goal, planning out what's required, I'm counting the cost, and then I'm taking the time to plan ahead and look at the various paths. I'm questioning the paths. I'm telling people what I'm going to do. Hey, I'm planning on this. Now I was thinking about. And sometimes when I talk to people, I speak as if it already exists. Right. And then all the while I'm thinking of all of the points that I'll measure. OK, I'll know this is working when. OK, if this happens, I'm abort. Right. That's what it looks like in an abbreviated, really quick hit fashion. And I go through this process iteratively every day, multiple times a day. And sometimes it's nested. Right. Like I'm planning. But then in planning, I'm nested with beginning with the end in mind. And planning, under planning and questioning everything. And then I'm questioning everything and I'm nested with beginning with the end. What question do I start with? Let me start at the end. Question what I'm trying to do. You see what I'm saying? It's really this iterative process that once the muscle is formed, you just do it naturally. Like I said, and this is just a few. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is just 5. There's more. And I could expound even deeper. But hopefully this helps you get it. We never build. When I say we, just know I am talking about the most sought after. I'm not talking about the average digital marketers in the industry. I'm talking about automation service providers. There's a difference. OK. And we never build for the sake of building. We build to produce. It's the ultimate measure of success. What you've produced. You will be successful when I look at the well of your production. Right? I go down, you know, let my bucket down, pull it up, see what you've produced, and that's going to be the measure of your success. Right? So as you start thinking more strategically, the software becomes less magical. And maybe you all didn't realize that you were hoping for software to be magical, to do a miracle. You look at these tools and you're like, that's what I need. That's the secret. No, when you start thinking more strategically, the software becomes less magical because you realize that the strategy is instructing and guiding the software. So you really don't need it to do all that you thought it needed. You needed it to do. You don't need all those features. You start getting more out of it with less. You're not using all of the features in the tool. You're not using all of these tags. You don't have 1,000 automations. And you feel good about it because it's working. Right? Small blueprint, big results. No worse feeling than being a beautiful building broke business person. Right? You can build beautiful things, but you're broke. It's a terrible feeling. It really is. It's like the, you know, the Tesla parked outside of the rundown apartments. It's just like, wait a minute, you got life backwards here. Unless there's something, you know, like you hiding out, you clearly have your money priorities totally flipped. Right? So nothing worse than being a beautiful building broke person. But on the flip side, there's no greater feeling than building with purpose and producing profits from it, right? The more strategic you are, the more you'll get out of automation. The more you get out of automation, the more time you can spend on how you truly desire to operate in your business. Choice, everybody. Choice. It is the greatest gift you can have in business. Choice. When you don't have it, you feel imprisoned. You feel like you have to say yes when you know you should say no. You feel overwhelmed. You feel exhausted. It's choice. And that is a big driving factor and motivator for me, is making sure people maintain the choice in their business. Strategic thinking and automation is how it is, how it's done. Okay. Strategy not only gives purpose to automation, it's the beginning of all automation. You know, I always say there's no automation without information. That's the technical side of it. The non-technical analog side of it, strategy. It all starts with strategy. The stronger your strategy, the stronger your automation. The skill of building can be learned. The skill of strategy, not so much for most people. Okay, because automation without a strategy, it creates repetition without direction, which means you're repeatedly going nowhere. That's exhausting, right? It is. But when you take the time and focus on the power of strategy, force yourself to go through the strategic considerations before implementing technology, that repetition becomes meaningful. It starts to remove the weight and provide clarity of mind and create capacity to do more, make more, be more. But it's all about strategy. A lot of times when people decide to invest in learning with me, they're blown away at the level of clarity they get because I'm asking questions. My worksheets are set up to where it's really highlighting those points that you just glossed over. They start to see themselves and their flaws, and it gives them an opportunity to work on it and shore it up. And here I am. I'm focusing on transforming your business so that you can automate this thing and make the money that you need. And then there's all of these other benefits that I'm realizing is that, wait a minute, I'm helping you be more strategic in your approach to not just automation, but your business. Right? I didn't set out to do that. I wasn't intentional about that. But I stand here today before you on this podcast as a learned individual. I've measured the success. I went into my well of results and said, oh, wait a minute. Wow. These are the aha moments. It's strategy, everybody. So in closing, I'll say this. I told you all I would revisit this. Some are naturally strategic. It's just who you are. No matter what area of life, you're always strategizing. Okay. And there's some keys to know that. You always got a plan. You're always up to something. You don't make decisions haphazardly and on the spot, right? You need to think through. It's like, I'm going to do this, but let me figure out the best way, right? You're probably slow to movement, not impulsive, right? But others can be strategic. But to build this muscle, they need to be in an environment that's constantly challenging them to think strategically. I just finished up a workshop. And that was one of the things in there, right? It was like, oh my gosh, I've got to think differently. I just finished up a speaking engagement. Same thing. But the people who can be strategic in the right environment around the right people, they'll eventually catch it. Right. And some don't have a strategic bone in their body. They'll need to rely on checklists, templates, and expertise of others. Doesn't matter who you are. No matter what approach you take, strategic thinking and marketing is the difference maker. It just is. Okay. So who needed to hear this? Who is that person that is, there's a few cases here. Who's a person that you know that you've been trying to understand they need to be more strategic in life and they just don't get it? And who is the person who can be strategic and they're not realizing how valuable it is, right? But more so, who is that digital marketing professional that needs to just slow down, stop building all of these daggone click funnel pages because all of the templates are in there and you learn how to click buttons and make stuff look good? They're just looking for stuff to do. There's a place for them. There is. They need to be coupled with somebody who's just going to do all the strategy and just tell them what to do. They just, all they have is a hammer and they just want to hit nails in. They don't want to think about it. I want to figure it out. There's a place for those type of professionals. But they also need to hear this so they know who they are. Okay? Don't lie to yourself. You serve nobody well by lying to yourself. Okay? Embrace who you are. All right? I'm talking about strategy. It's one of my strong suits, but that doesn't mean if you're not a strategic thinker, that makes you any less than. You just have a different gifting, a different strength, a different skill set. Just makes you different. But in this industry, those who could think strategically, understand technology, willing to learn marketing, and desire to build systems, listen, there's no other place for you to be but here. You're here. You're home. And with that being said, if you have enjoyed and found value in this episode, please go leave your 5-star rating and review now. Please do so. Okay, it's an easy way to tell me thank you. Here at Automation Bridge, we're dedicated to training digital marketing professionals to become automation service providers, which by now you realize strategic thinking automation builders, not just people who know the terminology and do stuff, because small businesses need marketers that have this ability to think strategically around marketing and understand technology, how to bring them together to deploy systems, automated systems for rapid growth. So if you believe you fit that bill, I would like to extend my second invitation. First, leave a review. Second, go to automationbridge.com/ASP to take the next steps to talk to somebody, either myself or someone on my team, to see if you will be a good fit. If what you're feeling, how you're assessing yourself is truly, it's true. Okay. We've got a community of strategic thinking, automation professionals that will expedite your learning curve, shorten your path to success, and get you out into the marketplace, providing the service of automation the right way. Okay. The time is now. The need has never been greater. And the opportunity is at hand. That's automationbridge.com/ASP. All of the show notes for this podcast and all other podcasts are available at automationbridge.com/podcast. You can subscribe there and listen to all the other episodes at your leisure. Okay. So until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.